Warning, this is an after-hours episode of The Quash. We are not responsible for any offense taken.
Just a minute. I'm coming.
FBI, open up!
Just a minute.
Hello, everybody. This is Legal Man. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a good episode. It's definitely an after-hours episode. I'm going to use this preposterous her hearing about the Biden classified documents to point out and demonstrate that the entire system is procedurally, functionally, structurally a total and complete fraud and will never do what people say. And for people to continue to run around and say, it's not the system, it's not the system, it's not the system. It's the people, they're corrupt people. It's not that. Of course, there's corrupt people in there, but the system is fundamentally and structurally fucked, and it can never work. And I want to make a show about that. And for people who don't know me, I'm a lawyer, practiced for more than 30 years. I'm America's most trusted and beloved lawyer because I tell them the truth, like I do in this show. I was a constitutional conservative. I believed it all for years and years and years and years and years, promoted it, sang the praises of the document and three co-equal branches and all the other stupid made-up shit that's not true. I pushed that. And then about 25 years ago, I got the internet. And in fairly short order, I started figuring out it's a scam, man. It's a con. They took me. It's a grift to keep me on a tax-paying plantation. And when I figured that out, I became self-certified as a master practitioner. And I don't need constitutional conservative experts anymore. I've also given myself a Lifetime Achievement Award for the incredible work I've done in my hundreds and hundreds of podcasts explaining the actual legal system and the way the system actually interacts with people. And when Jones Plantation, the movie, came out, I play Mr. Jones, I gave myself the Presidential Medal of Freedom for the incredible job I did in that movie. And I'm proud of all my fake awards and credentials because I love to mock them. Because all of that credentialing and registered, certified, licensed, lifetime achievement, all that stuff is a control system. It's a control system where the government forces people to learn this made-up officialdom lies and regurgitate it. And if you do it properly, then you can keep your registration or certification or license, get a lifetime achievement award from some government or some accredited institution. And it's fake, man. It's all fake. It's just a way to cover up the truth because they teach lies. Everyone saw it during COVID. They took the doctors and the nurses and the academics who spoke up and they ruined them. That's all. They destroyed them professionally, cut them off from any kind of media, went after their licenses because they have to cover up the lies. And everything has to be like that all the way down to the person who cuts your fingernails and does your hair. They all have to be licensed by the state official. And so my goal is that people catch on to that and mock it and see it for what it is, a control system. That's all, to cover up the lies. Okay, enough about that. Let's go ahead and get this show going because it's kind of a long show. So I'm going to make a show about the hearing, in effect, on this her special prosecutor, Biden, caught with the classified documents. And I'm doing it not like everybody else is doing it to show you, gotcha, gotcha. I'm hoping I can make a very clear point here, and I'm quite sure I'm going to get upset and pissed off. And I don't know how many of these clips I'm going to play. I've got several of them. I've listened to probably 10 of these different clips from the hearing where people are asking questions. And this joker is dodging constantly and acting like a robot in this absurd system. And I want to show people that the problem is not that we have Democrats. We have Democrats. The problem is that the system is fundamentally set up to be a fraud, that it's not actually there to get to the bottom of anything. And this hearing is another just great example with clip after clip to prove it because the issue is so simple. See, the very first thing you have to decide in these kinds of things is this system actually set up in any form or fashion to get to the truth? And if it is, what truth is it attempting to get to? And if that truth is gotten to, depending on what that truth is, who's going to pay the consequences? All of those issues are actually non-existent in these fairy tale hearings. There are no consequences to getting to any kind of truth for anybody, not for the witnesses, not for Joe Biden, not for anybody. And it's strictly a way to have sound bites, to continue the illusion of the red versus blue nonsense and to make people think that voting can help. But the structure of the system itself can never, ever, ever work. See, it can never, ever work. This hearing is the lead prosecutor who was appointed, the supposed independent prosecutor who was appointed to get to the bottom of this Joe Biden classified documents horseshit. And the reality is he spent 15 months, millions of dollars, had a large staff. They reviewed more than 7 million documents in 15 months, 7 million documents. They interviewed, in other words, they took sworn testimony from like 125 or something witnesses. And he wrote a 388-page report that included several dozen pages attached as an appendix. And so the report itself was like 340 pages long, the actual written report. So you've got this monstrous report with all this information, it called down all this different shit down to this. And if you're in real trial, you're at a real hearing, and this is the witness that's coming up, he's the witness you have to have. And the judge tells you that you will have 5 minutes for cross-examination. Well, what would you say about that? Well, you'd say it's a blatant kangaroo, absurd, Stalinistic show trial that's not actually seeking to get to any truth. But of course, that's exactly what these congressmen get. They get 5 minutes. So even though I listened to a lot of them and I thought a lot of them were pretty good lawyers, really, asking pretty good questions, the fundamental structure is preposterous and nobody complains about it. Nobody brings it up. If I was only going to be given 5 minutes to make a point, with something this big, I would simply make the point that the entire hearing is a complete sham. I'd make sure that was clear on the records. I would go through all this different stuff, and how can I possibly cover any of this in 5 minutes? And I would give a countdown of the amount of time that it took to ask a question and for have him answer one, and then I'd do a calculation and say, I can ask you 4 questions. And I would make a complete fool of this circus that they're passing off, but nobody ever does. Because what they do is they string together these different people asking. Well, that's not the same thing. One person boring in for hours and hours and hours is what you would have in reality if this was actually sought to get to the bottom of the issue. And what is the issue? Is the issue what's in the report? Is it? No, it's not. Everybody knows what's in the report's true. What does the report show? The report shows that Joe Biden, on countless occasions over many, many years, kept documents, knew they were top secret, held them, knew he had no right to hold them, decided he'd hold them anyway. And when he finally got caught, he turned them in. But in the meantime, he shared them with a ghostwriter who he was paid quite handsomely for. And when the ghostwriter found out there was an investigation, he immediately tried to delete the evidence. And none of these people were charged. So the facts are clear. The hearing has nothing to do with trying to get to the facts. The report is clear. The hearing, ultimately, really, even though it's not actually expressed, is about the fact that this prosecutor is not an independent prosecutor. He is a paid political hack who simply let Joe Biden off the hook for no good reason except that it's a political escape clause. But the hearing has almost nothing to do about that. The people are all hemmed in to this absurdity of going over the report. I wouldn't even care about the report. I wouldn't care one bit about the report in my 5 minutes. What's the point? Obviously, the facts don't matter. I played the clip many shows ago now when Biden got up there and was asked about it, and he just simply lied. And they had that clip from ABC or MSNBC or something like that, showing that what Joe Biden said just wasn't true. It was fully contradicted by the report. But it doesn't matter because the point is they're allowed to simply lie. All of them lie. And when they get caught lying and making shit up and they get sworn in, nothing happens to them anyway. No one gets prosecuted unless you're Donald Trump. And that's really what the hearing is about, and they should have made it about that. But what's the consequence to this man, this obvious, unindependent man who let Joe Biden off the hook as a prosecutor? What is it? There's no consequence to him. He can get up there and say anything he wants. It doesn't matter. As long as he doesn't so-called tell a lie in all these absurd fashions, or he can technically tell the truth and refer to the report, and that's what's in the report, and you'll hear all this stupid shit he says. If I play it all, then you'd know that this has absolutely nothing to do with getting to the bottom of anything and holding anybody accountable because there's no structural format First of all, we don't know if this person is their own witness or if they're an adverse witness to the people who are calling them. They act as though you have to treat them as a witness you've called. But this guy is obviously adverse to the Republicans, and he's a favorable witness for the Democrats. And the most basic rules inside of a trial or a hearing that's actually an evidentiary one is your own witness. You can't lead your own witness. Well, the liberals just lead him out the ass. And the conservatives often make the mistake of not leading him. They ask him all these questions that take too long instead of just simply making long statements and saying, isn't that true? And just putting the man in a box because it's not conducted like trial testimony. It's not conducted like a trial cross-examination or hearing examination. It's not. It's a show. It's just a show. And I want to play some clips. And the first one I want to play, I'm going to let it run a decent amount. It's about 2 or 3 minutes long, but it's a nice summary of just how clear this case is. And it's Jim Jordan, who is a very good trial lawyer. Very good. Of course, he's not in any way on our side because he doesn't speak any of the truth I'm talking about. He doesn't expose the fact that the entire system is a fraud and that this platform, this procedure can never work to do anything because no one can even tell you what the purpose of it is to get testimony from him. About what? To what end? What will happen at the end of it? Nothing will happen because they have no authority to do anything, no power. Okay, so the whole thing is absurd, and it wouldn't even make sense to have a hearing if you couldn't tell the judge what the hearing was about and what the judge could do at the end of it. You don't just hold hearings to have people talk, but that's what they do here. And so the whole thing's a fraud, but I want to play this clip, starting with this Jim Jordan clip, because I think it's a good clip. It's a nice summary of all the different shit, and he's, like I said, he's a very good trial lawyer, in my opinion. He asks very good questions, and he makes it very clear. So let's go ahead and start and listen to a little of this. Okay, so here he is.
Robert Hur was appointed special counsel on January 12th, 2023. He had a fundamental question to address. Did Joe Biden unlawfully retain classified information? The answer, yes, he did. Page one of Mr. Hur's report, he says this: our investigation uncovered evidence that President Biden willfully retained and disclosed classified materials after his vice presidency when he was a private citizen.
Okay.
He further writes, Mr. Biden willfully retained marked classified documents about Afghanistan and handwritten notes in his notebooks, which he stored in unsecure places in his home.
And he just uses the report. That's why I'm using it, because he just sums it up so perfectly.
Joe Biden kept classified information, and Joe Biden failed to store classified information properly. Mr. Hur made these determinations after interviewing 147 witnesses. He examined 7 million documents, including emails, text messages, photographs, videos, toll records, and other materials from both classified and unclassified sources.
Okay, see, so he's given a great summary, right? There's all this different shit, right? And he goes through and just proves the case. He just absolutely proves the case. There's absolutely no question about it, okay?
But there's more. Joe Biden not only kept information he wasn't allowed to keep, and he not only failed to secure that information properly, he also shared it with people who weren't allowed to see it. Shared that information with his ghostwriter. And remember, this is information that only individuals with a security clearance are supposed to see. Mr. Hur told us on page 200 of his report that it's the kind of information that, quote, risked serious damage to America's national security.
Compare this, all this shit, to what Biden said about where he just got there and lied at the podium and to the press and the people. He just lies. The evidence is clear inside the report.
And what did Joe Biden have to say about all this? What was his explanation? On page 94 of Mr. Hur's report, Joe Biden said he took his notebooks with him after his vice presidency because, quote, they're mine.
Yeah, this is very clear. See, so it's a very, very clear-cut case. The idea that he didn't meet all the standards and everything, that's very clear. Okay, he did meet them all. And so I want to get to this other point after he sums it up some more.
And every president before me has done the same exact thing. Never mind the fact that he had never been president when he took this information, but what comes through is Joe Biden felt he was entitled. You can almost hear it. You can feel the arrogance in the statement. They're mine. But even with all that, Mr. Hurd chose not to bring charges because, quote, Mr. Biden would likely present himself to a jury as he did in our interview of him, as a sympathetic, well-meaning, elderly man with a poor memory.
This is the crux of the case, this idea that the Department of Justice manual, the holy manual, requires that a prosecutor reach a conclusion that it's probable that a jury would convict on every element. And what they hang on is this idea that it wasn't probable. He, in his opinion, it wasn't probable they would convict for these reasons here. He's a sympathetic old man with poor memory, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he hammers it in. I really want people to understand that's the whole case right there that he decided that's the case. The Department of Justice manual. Okay, this is completely ridiculous. These are supposed to be for very clear-cut cases. You don't just say, well, I think the guy's kind of likable, so we're not going to prosecute him. This is preposterous. But this is the case that's being set up, and I want to make a few other points about it. But listen to how clear this is and how much of a liar Joe Biden is and how absolutely nothing happens to any of them and how this prosecutor is obviously simply a political hack and nothing's going to happen to him.
A forgetful old man who Mr. Hur said did not remember when he was vice president, forgetting on the first day of the interview when his term ended, and forgetting on the second day of the interview when his term as vice president began.
Listen to this shit.
Mr. Hur produced a 345-page report, but in the end, it boils down to a few key facts. Joe Biden kept classified information. Joe Biden failed to properly secure classified information. And Joe Biden shared classified information with people he wasn't supposed to.
It's all true. It's a very simple, straightforward case, right? There's nothing to it.
Joe Biden broke the law. But because he's a forgetful old man who would appear sympathetic to a jury, Mr. Hur chose not to bring charges.
That's the whole issue, is that this idea that the defendant was too likable. First of all, that's really the kind of thing you let the jury decide. The idea the Department of Justice manual requires he make some finding. Okay, even if that's the case, let's just assume that is the case, all right, that it does require that. Then the entire hearing really needs to be about what basis did he use to determine this? What makes him think that a jury would find him that way? Did he take a poll? Did he show the video to other people? So he's sympathetic. Why? Why is he sympathetic and Donald Trump's not? Oh, I'm not here to answer questions. You are here to answer questions. Oh, he's not? Okay, well, exactly, because it's all a show. What is exactly sympathetic about Joe Biden? What is it? How is he sympathetic? He's a man who's a president, supposed to be powerful. How can you, as a prosecutor, believe that a person is going to be able to take the stand and then claim that he's entitled to be president, he's capable of being president, and should play clip after clip after clip of him saying how vigorous he is and alert and everything else and show all his aides. So the question is, are you faking it here, Mr. Biden, when you're acting like you can't remember anything? Or is this really the state of your memory? If the state of your memory is this bad, why do you claim that you're completely fine? And why don't you step down as president? Bring his staff in, cross-examine them. See, that's what a real hearing would be about, a real trial, trying to get to the real issue. And the real issue here is simply skirted over and over and over and over again. Because the real issue here is that this prosecutor is not independent. And if he's not independent, if he can't prove why it is, how it is, he went about making this determination, is he the only one on the team who felt this way? Is he? Let's look at your voting records. Let's look at your donations. Let's look at anything else we've got. Let's bring up his examples of other situations where people have been let off the hook for the same reason. How long have you been a prosecutor? How many cases have you been involved with? How many cases have you ever seen not be prosecuted for a reason like this? That a man who's a CEO of a company comes off as a senile, sympathetic old man, so we're not going to prosecute him for the white-collar crimes. Huh? You think you could get away with that? Of course not. It's absurd. Can you show us any example that ever happened in the entire history of the DOJ? Okay, well, show us some stuff in a real case, a real trial, a real hearing. He would have been given notice about this. He would have already been asked these questions. He's going to have to understand that this is going to be an area of he's going to be expected to answer because this is the entire issue. He needs to go do some research. He needs to tell us all the different ways he went about trying to make this determination, since he has such a fantastically clear-cut, lay-down, slam-dunk case against the man, but for this ridiculous excuse he's cooking up, he's got a lay-down. It's literally, the man was keeping him in like 6 or 8 different places over decades, constantly finding him. They have testimony that he was telling his ghostwriter that he was going to get an $8 million advance on all this shit while he was still vice president, that he kept the notebook for the exact same reason. He had perfectly good reasons to lie and hide and keep the shit. And then they destroyed it afterwards. Why was that ghostwriter who destroyed the evidence not charged? Why? Because in order to charge him, then it would obviously have blowback on Biden. And you can just blow the prosecutor up with that too, that this is not consistent in any way. He doesn't have to get a sympathetic old man up there in order to prove that the ghostwriter destroyed evidence. They have absolutely clear proof that it was there. It's on his computer. They have audio files of the recordings. You have a slam dunk case. Why isn't he charged? I just told you why. And so if you're having a real hearing, that's how you get to the bottom of it. That's what a real hearing is about. The problem here is there's no purpose to this hearing. The purpose of this hearing is just to have people talk. You could never have a real hearing like that. The people who are having the hearing have absolutely no power at all to do anything to these people. The people testifying aren't going to face any charges. This prosecutor has absolutely nothing to fear that he's going to face criminal charges for the absurd way he conducted this investigation and washed it all away. See, that's why all of this is fake. It'd be very easy to blow him up on the stand in a real trial, but not with 5 minutes. Not with 5 minutes. You can't do anything. You can't lay predicates. You don't constantly refer to the report like they do in here. That's not what you do in cross-examination. You don't lay it out for him. You ask him a question. Is this report? Are you responsible for it? Do you stand behind every word of it? Is there any part of this report you don't stand behind? You get all that cleared up front. And then you start asking him questions, not about what's in the report. You start asking him directly questions. And in the report. And now you don't let him refer to all that shit. He's here to testify about himself, not about what's in the report. The report speaks for itself in the law. The report speaks for itself. There's nothing he can add to the report. The report stands alone. That's what it means when you enter a document into the record. That's why people say objection to the report speaks for itself, meaning read from the report. Don't ask him what the report means. That's a whole thing. And that's what they do over and over and over again. They act like that in their quick 5 minutes because they're trying to get a good soundbite to go raise money. They're not trying to get to the bottom of anything. So they're not trying to get to the bottom of it, and nobody brings it up. This is the structure. If you were actually trying to get to the bottom, it would be very easy. You could just lead him like crazy. Just lead him all the time. The reality is that you just ask him, would you charge Donald Trump? Was he likable? Was he sympathetic? You'd ask him, I've never reviewed it. Well, the jury won't have reviewed it either. The jury's not going to review anything. The jury's not going to review any of this material. They have to hear it cold. So they'd have to hear Trump cold. Is he sympathetic? Is that your impression of him? You probably couldn't get a conviction because they couldn't prove it was willful. You don't have any doubt whatsoever on Joe Biden, whether it's probable you could prove it was willful. You got admissions that it's willful from him. You've got him admitting that he did it. It's mine. He claimed he took it. He knew it was classified information. He took it. He said it was his. He was entitled to. Okay. So it has nothing, again, to do with the idea that you couldn't prove it was willful because he was sympathetic and senile and forgetful. It has nothing to do with that. If it has something to do with sympathetic, then tell me what's sympathetic about Joe Biden. Tell me. What's sympathetic about a man who's worked in government for 40-plus years at the time, who takes classified documents he knows he's not entitled to? He says all presidents. He wasn't a president. He wasn't a president. So he was mistaken. So that's not a defense in the law. To be mistaken about something like that is not a defense to the fact it was willful. It was willful. It would be a burden on him to prove a legal defense, the fact that he was entitled to take it. That's not what this case turns on. It's turning on the fact that he couldn't prove it was willful. He's got admissions that it was willful. He knew he had it. He told his ghostwriter because he was going to get $8 million bucks for it. That's why. And so the problem with this kind of case, the problem with this kind of hearing, and it's always the problem. It's just, in this case, it's so clear because you have this report that's so crystal clear that every single element is so clearly proved. Even this idea that he did it willfully, because the evidence that he took the money and he talked to a ghostwriter and then the ghostwriter destroyed the information shows you that the parties all knew that this was information he wasn't supposed to be disclosing and the other man was not supposed to have. It shows that. That is at minimum something you put in front of the jury. If the defense wants to raise the issue that the man is senile and incapable and not fit to stand trial, that's a defense they raise. Show me any case where a prosecution was not undertaken in a case anything remotely like this with an executive who's operating a multi-billion dollar industry and yet they don't bring charges because he's sympathetic and forgetful. Show me any case for it. If you can't show me the cases for it, then like I said, that's the purpose of the hearing, is to show that this man is not being truthful and honest when he says that that was the conclusion he reached from any kind of objective evidence. He's just a non-independent cover-up artist for government. And if you prove that, then the man needs to be going to prison. But since that's no part of this procedure, it's no part of this absurd circus that's going on under the guise of trying to get to the truth. We're not trying to get to the truth. If we're trying to get to the truth, this is not what we would do. I go back to what I said in the beginning. If the court gave you 5 minutes for cross-examination, it'd be like, Your Honor, what is this? This is clear reversible error. You can't give me 5 minutes to have a witness who's responsible for a 15-month investigation with a 345-page report that took 7 million documents into account. You can't give me 5 minutes. That's preposterous. You would have a man like this on the stand for probably a couple of days in an actual trial. Imagine how much stuff you could set him up with, asking him questions, leading him in, and then just bringing up and showing the page of the report and just showing that that's not what you said in the report. Oh, well, I know the report. No, we already went over all that. You stand behind every word in this report. This is your report. You didn't accept anything out. Now I'm showing you that what you're saying isn't true. You don't see conduct like that in these hearings because, oh, I'm an honorable man, this, and I'm yielding back my time to that, and I overstepped this, and you can't go into this area. He's not here to testify as to that. What the hell is he there to testify as to? I don't understand. We don't need him to testify as to the report. The report's there. You can just read from the report. All he does is refer to the report. Well, I believe that was in the report. And then if you ask him a direct question, he says, well, the evidence is such and such and it's reflected in the report. I don't care about the report. If the man's just there to tell us what's in the report, there's no point having him there. See? And none of this stuff is ever cleared up because it's not real. I don't know how many ways I can try to get this point across to people. This is a show. Hi, it's Legal Man. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you appreciate the unique insight and information I provide, then go over to my Patreon account for The Quash and become a member. I have bonus shows and material, early access, and it's a good place to meet like-minded people. I have people ask me all the time, what can we do, Legal Man? Well, start by voting with your pocketbook. It's the only vote that really counts. Support things that tell people the truth. Getting people to understand the truth is the only solution we have to this insanity. Look, I get it. There are a lot of people who can't afford to support my show with money. But there are a lot of people who can, and if you can, and you like the show, you should support it. That's what free markets look like. The people running this scam, they have unlimited funding. I don't have support of that system. In fact, I get harassed because I tell people the truth that they don't want the people to know. So we have to stick together. So go sign up. Now let's get back to the show. And none of this stuff is ever cleared up because it's not real. I don't know how many ways I can try to get this point across to people. This is a show. So what if he proves all these things? And they do. They go through and prove all sorts of stuff. All sorts of these people went through and made great points, but they lead nowhere. They don't go anywhere. See, they don't go anywhere. They just hang in the air. The problem is the points they make that obviously took the money and he had a good motivation for hiding the information, keeping the information, and disclosing the information in direct violation of law. He had a very good motivation. He wanted a legacy, which is also in the report, and he wanted $8 million. That's it. So the idea that he didn't do it willfully is preposterous. He did do it willfully. And you think a jury is going to say, well, he's sympathetic. People constantly present themselves as sympathetic. They always attempt that. That's on the defense side. When you're absolutely caught dead-handed, then you try to, whoa, poor me, I'm just a sweet, innocent old man. They send sweet, innocent old people who aren't even guilty to fucking prison every day in our system. The idea these prosecutors back off because of that, that's preposterous. That's on this her guy to come forward and prove. Show us the examples. What examples are you drawing on? I don't understand. What examples? I've never heard of such an example. Where is it? Are the people on your team, do they have examples? Where are they? Did you show this to a bunch of other people? Did you provide this kind of information to other people? The staff inside the DOJ and ask them? Did you ask them their political affiliations? Did you do anything? What was the procedure you went through in order to determine that it so-called wasn't probable that you could get a conviction on this when you have all this evidence? How is the man going to defend himself at trial that he's a sympathetic old man with a bad memory if he's running around acting as president? How? How can that happen? These questions don't get asked because the purpose of the hearing is not clear. The purpose of the hearing is not something to ever have a hearing on. The purpose of the hearing leads nowhere. It's not a real hearing. See, this is the reason nothing ever happens. And I don't care what hearing it is. They had another hearing going on with the Department of Defense and some crap about our borders and everything else. It's always the same shit. There's no real point to the hearings. Information gathering. That's not the purpose of a hearing. You don't gather information at a hearing like this. It makes no sense unless it's followed up. Sure, they have a hearing like this. One of these guys who's good ex-prosecutor asked the questions for hours and hours and hours. One guy asking the questions for hours and hours and hours. And whatever answers he gives, you reconvene the hearing, whatever, a week later, and he brings all the information. I don't have that in front of me right now. Okay, we're going to check it. We're going to check it. You're going to have a nice long list of shit you got to go do and bring back to us. That's how a real hearing would happen. You would gather real information. You would hold their feet to the fire. You would bring them back to cross-reference. You would bring other witnesses in to show what they said's not true. And then you reconvene the hearing. You say, fine, okay, you did that with your staff and this and that. Okay, fine. That's how you supposedly did it. Fine. Take a recess. We're going to bring those people in, subpoena them, bring them all in, swear them in. We're going to find out what the hell actually happened. And then you're going to bring him back. Say, that's just not what they said. So you lied to us. You're telling us, oh, you misunderstood. So the entire basis of the report was basically a misunderstanding on your part. That's what it is. The main conclusion, this huge conclusion, this earth-shaking conclusion after a multi-million dollar investigation was a mistake on your part. What else is a mistake in here? How many other mistakes have you made? How many other people do we need to bring up here and get out of prison because of all the damn mistakes you make on the most fundamental important issues? Are you incompetent? Should you resign your law license? This is the kind of thing you do in a real hearing, a real trial, to discredit these preposterous witnesses they wheel up there. But instead, it's all this nicety, formality, my gust this, my gust that, yielding back my time. The special man, the special lady. All this stupid shit. It's fucking trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at stake. There's massive corruption going on. Why are we continuing to be held back by all these preposterous so-called niceties? Why? Because it's a charade. Because it's not real. To keep pretending that the system is real when it just every single thing screams that it's not real is absurd. There's literally no part of any actual cross-examination going on here. No part whatsoever. They're not in any way prepared for cross-examination except to the extent that they bring up the report. They're not prepared to burn him on anything else. They could have done huge amounts of research on how many cases he was involved with, how many have ever been not prosecuted based upon this reason. Just show. His entire career, he's never done it. You could have done a research yourself on the DOJ. They have infinite resources with Congress. Just find that this has never been used. Go and bring the white-collar crime people in. Go bring them in. Let's see how many people have been let off the hook Bring up witness after witness. Are you likable, sympathetic, old? Bring a case after case of old, sympathetic people who were put into prison. That's all you do. You can find example after example of people who were supposedly old and sympathetic who had to go to prison. You could. You're never going to find example after example of people who are sympathetic and old that the fucking Department of Justice doesn't go after and ignores that and doesn't care one bit about it when they have an airtight slam dunk case like they have here. They have the man on audio tape admitting that he knows it's his. He kept it because it's his. He's going to put it out there. He's going to use his $8 million. He doesn't care. He owns it. It's you got it. You've got him. There's no basis. And so they're not prepared to do real cross-examination. And I've decided I'm not going to play a bunch of the other clips because it's just so obvious. And anyone who's interested needs to listen to some. And I will attach a few of the ones that I listen to. And you can listen to them yourself. They're only 5 minutes at a time because that's all the time they get. So it's not like you have to listen to someone for hours and hours and hours. You see, oh, okay, they're really starting to make time's up. Time's up. It's like a fucking joke. It's like a judge who's running a kangaroo court, who as soon as you start making progress, they cut you off. It's like us in Jones Plantation. As soon as Noah starts making some points when he's giving his speech, the slave that wants to run for the plantation master, and we just have Smith come up and just interrupt him, stop him. Okay, you can finish up your thought. It's time's up. It's like, what do you mean? You're not giving him a chance. Nobody can be allowed cross-examination with their hands tied like this. It's just ludicrous, every single piece about it, to someone like me who's tried cases and knows what the actual litigation system's like and knows what it means to actually cross-examine and bury somebody. I've spent hours and hours pounding on witnesses. One time in a case, I spent more than 2.5 hours asking this guy the same damn question over and over again in 1,000 ways, insisting he'd give me an answer. He kept telling me I've answered it, asked and answered. We argued about the thing. They threatened to call the court. I said, go ahead and do it. Call them. I want to. I need an answer to this. It's the whole damn case. They expect me just to move on. I'm not going to. So eventually, after like 2 hours plus of doing this, they took a break, they came back, and he made a statement. And the statement was an admission. Admission, he made it, fucking did it because he had done it. And what happened? We settled the case shortly thereafter because that's it. And that's the same kind of thing you do here. You don't just let it go. You don't. It's the whole issue. Where's the evidence? What did he do? How did he determine it was probable? When has this ever happened with the DOJ? Show me other cases. What did you rely on? I don't understand. Show us some stuff. How does this distinguish from Trump? How? Distinguish it. This is a political matter. The allegation is you're a political hack. That's the allegation, Mr. Herr. That's it. You just tell him to his face. That's the allegation. You are a political hack. You are here to defend that. If you don't want to defend that, then we'll have to assume you are a political hack. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, it's abusing the witness. Why? It's stating a fact. That is the allegation. If he wants to defend it, he's here to defend himself. Oh, no, he's just here to talk about the report. We don't need him here to talk about the report. See, I've spoken on and on for 25 minutes just about all the stupid shit that they're not doing and that occurs. Think how long it would take to actually get testimony laid down with a witness who's not cooperating, who's just giving you these roundabout horseshit answers. Well, I believe it's reflected. I don't care what's reflected in the report. Look how long it takes just to make points. You can't do it in 5 minutes. I'm telling you, this man would be on stand for days in a real setting. Days he would be answering questions. Back and forth, direct, and he'd be brought back up. We're recalling Mr. Herr now to the stand, Your Honor, after having heard 4 other fucking witnesses that we brought in after him that contradicted everything he said and all the new testimony. We're going to have his explanation, and he'd have to come back. You understand you're still under oath, Mr. Herr? Yes, I do. Okay. All right. Well, let's go. And you start asking. This is what really happens. This is why it's so frustrating to me that people continue to defend this system and believe somehow that the system could ever work. It can't. It's not about voting. It's idiotic. It's not about getting the right people in there. These people I saw asking questions, they're plenty good to ask him real questions under real circumstances. They are. I mean, I know they're a bunch of political sellouts, but I'm just telling you, they're plenty good to ask questions. Plenty good. I would trust Jim Jordan to prosecute the case if he was really going to prosecute it. And if he doesn't prosecute the case properly, then he needs to be brought up on fucking charges. I don't understand. Why is it treated like this? It's like people, best system ever. I don't understand why people are okay with this. I don't understand. They run every part of our life. They've thrown us tens of trillions of dollars in debt. I don't get it. Now they're threatening to draft people and send them over to fucking Ukraine. I don't understand. I don't get it. There are just millions of people gushing into the country. Now they got to bring these fucking Haitian cannibals into the country. It's just moronic that people are just, okay, gotta go. Maybe I don't have that personality, you know. Someone pushes on me, I push back. I push back. I don't get it. I don't understand people just get walked over. Oh, we gotta go. Hey, walk over me. Hey, it's a tough system. God, so dumb, man. So dumb. I knew I was going to get mad. I knew I was going to get mad. It was impossible. I thought I was going to get through several other clips on here from him and some other people, but I'm not going to because it will be redundant, okay? And I get it. You got to tell them what you're going to tell them. You got to tell them, then you got to tell them what you told them and all this other crap, and you got to have repetition. I have beaten this thing into the ground, in my opinion, on this show. This is not a legitimate system. Nobody can even tell you what the hearing is actually about. They can't. Oh, we're finding out about the report. We had to call him up here. You saw Biden just lying about what was in there. Nothing happens to him. In a real world, when Biden lies like that, the prosecutor, if he genuinely thought he was forgetful and sympathetic, and he saw the fucking man he just made a decision not to charge saying that shit about him, he'd say, well, screw you. We are going to charge you now. We are going to charge you now because obviously you aren't a sympathetic, forgetful old man. You are a conniving man, and we're going to put it in front of the jury. But that doesn't happen. Nothing happens. See, nothing ever happens, and still the people tell me it's the greatest system ever. That's the part that's just so crazy-making to me. It's just absolutely insane. And the fact that constitutional conservatives and media can get on there and continue to push that bullshit about how it's the greatest system ever devised, the freedom machine. Now we have to subpoena this and do that. The system isn't set up in any way to do anything. That's why it's never done anything to get to the bottom of anything and hold anybody responsible and accountable and put them in prison and disgorge all of their assets. It's never done that, never going to do that. It's not set up to do that. And none of these things are ever going to do it. The hearings are a circus, a charade, a sham to get people driven into this red-blue fantasy world and to raise money. That's it. That's it. Is that a good system? Is that a great system? Is that the greatest system ever? Is that what it is? A system that protects corruption, enshrines it into the system, runs charade hearings? Is that what it is? That's the greatest system ever devised? Fucking people. God, I'm so sick of these people. So sick of them. So sick of these constitutional conservatives and media. So sick of all the brainwashed people who just immediately regurgitated back. It's not the system. It's the people. It's the Democrats. The Democrats hate America. Blah, blah, blah. They're just fucking programmed drones. How much clearer can they make it? It's just obvious you can never make it any clearer. It's impossibly any clearer than this situation we have right now with this Biden situation. Just impossible. And still, it's nothing. Doesn't even make a dent. Everyone just thinks, this shows you how important elections are. All right, whatever. Whatever. I mean, how many shows can I make about, you know, the fact that we're fucked? We're screwed. It's over, guys. It's over. Make your plans. You best protect yourself because this stuff is not going to change. It's not going to. I enjoy laughing at these idiots, making fun of them. Obviously, this has turned into an after-hours program. I like to get it off my chest, too. I was laughing about it before I get on. I'm always laughing about it. I listen to the clips. I'm laughing. I walk around my place thinking about what I'm going to make the show, how I'm going to do it. I'm laughing about how absurd it all is, taking a shower, laughing about it, thinking how stupid it is. I get on here, and I just get fucking pissed. I really do. I just get pissed because I just think about how many tens of millions of people are being brainwashed right now, by these constitutional conservatives and media talking about all the same stupid shit and the ridiculous show hearings and how they go on every single day in some other form or fashion down there on every single issue. They're just as ridiculous. So I just can't keep myself from getting pissed off. I'm just constitutionally not capable of doing it. Just not, you know. I just want to rip into these witnesses, rip into them. Just shred them. This guy could be shredded. You can make him look like such a lying hack, a political hack, a liar, his report, a complete sham, a cover-up. It's so easy to do. So easy. If you can't do it with something this simple, then just stop having hearings. Stop having them, because you can never do it. You can never do it if you're not capable of taking the material you have here and exploding this witness and putting him into prison for obvious lies and political hackery of what he did with this report. Then it's pointless to have the system. It's pointless. Join the show. Just join the show and rip the people off and laugh if they want to run around defending something this stupid. All right, I got to stop. It's not like I'm on medication or anything, but I mean, it's just, how much more can I say, right? How much more can I say? I could literally do hours on the ridiculousness of the testimony I heard and the sham nature of this hearing. And I could do it with pretty much any of them. I could just go on and on and on for hours and hours and hours about how ridiculous it is and play clips. I could just do it for hours with this. I could. But what's the point? No one's going to listen to hours and hours and hours of it. It's pointless, you know? I'd rather have someone listen to this show a couple of times to get the points that are made than to just go on making other points again and again and again for hours and hours. What's the point? If I have something else I want to say about it, when I get off and I end up editing the show and putting it out, then I'll make another show on it. But as of right now, that's it. That's all I'm going to say about it. So... It's funny. My cat has been sitting right next to me the whole time, and he's very peaceful and quiet. When I get upset like that, often he doesn't get upset. He was already sleeping beforehand. Now, if he's not sleeping beforehand, I do that, he'll get upset. The other one just stays sleeping in the window. He's funny. He almost never gets upset. But I was concerned that he was going to, you know, start doing his stuff and meowing and running around. I have to throw him in the bathroom, lock the door. But he didn't. He behaved. Frankie Noodles, the man's a champ. Okay, well, that's it. If you want to follow me, you can. I'm Legal Man of U.S. Crime Review on Twitter if this ever gets out in public. Thank you to everybody in Patreon who supports my show. I really appreciate you guys. And thank you to everybody who supported Barnum World. We hit our minimum number, but we still would be happy to take more money because it's going to be a lot, and the more we get, the more we can do with it. And thank you to everybody who made that possible. I really think you're going to be very happy if you can point to that and say, yeah, I helped make that possible. I think people are going to like the movie. I think it's got a good chance. We're going to make sure that the thing is not some a red versus blue horse shit. We're going to make sure it stays neutral, and I'm not going to do like I did in this show and just go railing and things like that. I don't think that'd be effective. So it's going to be a different kind of show. We're going to do it in the way that we hope is the most effective, or at least one of the most effective. You can never be the perfect show, but I think it'll be great. So thank you to everybody who supports that, supported that, and continues to support it. And Jones Plantation, the film, of course, is now available, not just at JonesPlantationFilm.com, where you can get all the gear and the t-shirts and the mugs, but it's on Amazon. Anybody can rent it, buy it. I hope people do. And if you like it, go write a review about it. Give us 5 stars, because there's always going to be dickheads out there who are going to write stuff down there just for their own reasons, who, you know, they've got some grudge or some crap. Get triggered by it. So anyway, support that project. It's a great way to baby step people in. I think once you understand what Barnum statements are and things like that, you can never take politics seriously. So they do kind of go hand in hand, Jones Plantation and the Barnum World. So, and beyond that, I don't think there's anything else to say, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have been a great audience as usual. Everybody have a nice night or day wherever you are. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Put your hands together one more time for Legal Man. Great show. Thanks so much. I get to take your service on the way out.
More quash.